Can't look in the eyes of my brother without shedding a tear for my brother. I really wanna try for my brother, 'cause I truly do feel for my brother.
Yo, welcome to yet another episode of the Informally Honest Podcast, a place where a couple, four brothers, or less, who knows, depends on the day, get together and just have a conversation that we let y'all in on, y'all being the audience. We are four guys from Gary, Indiana, from the neighborhood of Miller Beach, Hilltop, you know what it is. And so we have had a friendship lasting longer than two decades, and we just use this as a means to stay connected to one another, be able to vent, be able to process, and, you know, just be able to commune, fellowship with people who are kindred to you. And so this is your primary host, because I only say that because you hear me talk the most, J to the Ish, because I be that. But you can call me Josh. I'm joined by my lovely gentleman co-hosts. We got Adam.
Good afternoon.
And we got Aaron.
Yo, yo.
And soon we'll have Brother Marcus, who is off doing his fatherly duties as a good black man should. So we're recording this via the Anchor app, because we all live in different places. But a thing we have in common is we are still all going through the complete hysteria of the coronavirus, quarantine, COVID-19. And so I'm in Chicago, Adam is in Indiana, and Aaron is in Atlanta. And so how are y'all, are y'all still faring in probably one of, if not the worst health crisis in world history, to be completely honest?
I'll go first. I'm fucking loving it. And, and unemployed and enjoying it. no, I'm kidding. I guess I'm blessed, and I feel like a lot of people are like me as well. I don't feel like I'm hugely affected by it as far as like day-to-day things. I mean, maybe that just means I was boring before this shit, so I didn't do this. outside of the virus messing up a couple of my plans, including getting my old job back. I mean, I was lucky enough to have a decent amount of savings that I could live off of, which could be good and bad depending on how you look at it. But outside of that, I mean, I'm finding little parks here and there to avoid the large Coachella-like gatherings that I'm still seeing, you know,
just to get out. Because Coachella was canceled.
You'll come to Atlanta. It's here. It's here. Somebody didn't get the memo, dog. Somebody didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
But my girl was able to get her job back. So, I mean, we're outside of the typical luxuries of being able to go out to your favorite restaurant and eat for 2 hours or whatever, as opposed to getting takeout and whatnot. And toilet paper, as everybody is going through that same issue, then I guess I'm blessed that it's not hitting me too hard, at least as of right now. On our next episode, stay tuned to see what's really stay tuned to see how my answer changes.
Oh man, it's funny. I don't know if this reference will mean as much to y'all, but I was thinking the other day how all the bullshit that that the world kind of goes through if this is the thing, you know, a flu adjacent virus is what ends up taking out the world. It's the equivalent of like how Goku and Dragon Ball Z couldn't be fucked with by nobody. And then there's that one arc where he like dies of heart disease and you're like, wait, what? Every alien life form tries to come and kill this motherfucker and he never dies. And then he dies of heart disease.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So AJ, I know they still got you slinging sedans, and so what's life like for you?
Well, I mean, I guess it's the same on the surface, because you know I'm still going to and from work and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But psychologically, it's getting crazy because, like, I read this thing today where they were like, last week, I think they said like 3.3 million people applied for unemployment, which I guess like the highest before this ever recorded was like 695,000. And
they said it's four times the highest it's ever been.
Yeah. So, and for me, it's like, but at first I was like, man, I'm not trying to go to work. But now I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe it's a blessing. I don't know. So I and it just got me thinking, like, I figured it's only a matter of time before we shut down too. It's like, you know, why not really at this point?
Mm-hmm.
But then,
I mean, you know, just because people are dying don't mean you don't need, you know, a 2020 Toyota Camry. So
I guess so. But I don't know, like, because I don't know, because there's like so many layers to this thing, because like, like, you know, for one, like, you want everybody to stay at home and, you know, so it doesn't spread. But then obviously that's going to, well, it has tremendously affected the economy, which that's going to affect people too. It's like, I mean, I don't know. It's really a tricky, it's the craziest thing we've probably ever seen in our lifetime. Well, I mean, at some level, it's the craziest thing anyone's ever seen, because like the unemployment thing, I mean, that's the most drastic it has ever been. Like, even the Great Recession, like, it's crazier than all of those. It's so it's like, and they're predicting the unemployment rate to go up to like 30%, which is like, I don't know what it was in the Great Depression, but no, it wasn't 30%.
No. And I mean, if never before, I really need people to get, if you have ever questioned if the majority of the world, but I'll even just say U.S. population, are complete dumbasses, this should be the affirmation. This should be the confirmation for you. Yeah. That it's not a thing of people are trying to suppress you and go into your home. It's a thing of we folks want to go back to work. I want to go back to work. I don't like not working.
Yeah.
I cannot function personally without working with people. That's a part of my business.
Yeah.
I'm a dancer, choreographer, et cetera. And I get it that people are trying to go into the remote age and, you know, trying to fare with, you know, teaching online classes and all that kind of stuff. But much like, you know, a stand-up comedian, you can't do what you do without the proper audience, without the proper people to engage. You know, it's a thing of you need person-to-person connection.
Yeah.
In this particular art form anyway. Yeah. And so that part sucks. But I get that I will stay my black ass home if it can shorten how long I gotta be without work. People don't. We live in the age of social media where distancing yourself from people or being disconnected from people in general has been a norm for years.
Yeah, that's true.
And now that the government said, hey, we need y'all to do that shit that y'all always been doing, everybody's like, no, people, what?
It's like the age old thing of like, you know, they say like when your parents try to restrict you from doing something, it just makes you want to do that more.
Right. It's like, absolutely.
It's like the same thing, really.
Right.
Absolutely, man.
Which it baffles me to no end. And it is honestly infuriating because you're just making the shit go on for longer. You're making the death toll worse. You're doing all these things, and I say this as a complete skeptic to it from jump, that I'm like, this is such an easy solution to just only go out when you fucking have to.
Yeah.
Even I was saying earlier before we started recording that me and my girl went to the park yesterday because we just wanted to get out to the sun, but we know don't get near other motherfuckers. I'll even get on my skateboard so that if I am possibly near another motherfucker, I can get past you quickly.
Yeah.
As we were coming back to my house, then we saw a group of six young gents walking shoulder to shoulder with each other down the street. And we're like, I've never had to be a white woman so quickly, i.e. cross the street. Because it just made no sense to me. And I'm like, well, clearly I'm not going to walk near y'all because y'all don't give a fuck about this.
Yeah.
And it's baffling.
They were playing Red Rover.
It honestly just doesn't, it doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. And it's not a thing of fear. It's a thing of caution. Like, yo, I just want it to be over. Can we just be past it? But people, yeah. Here's a fun game. Let's tell each other, what's some of the, get your words out, Ishmael. What's some of the higher dumbassery that you've seen in regards to this epidemic or pandemic, right?
You mean like in person or online or
even things you've heard about?
Okay.
I guess I can lead that. Chicago, there's a park out on the west side. I don't remember, it was like 606 or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But just yesterday, there were hundreds of people gathered, running, riding bikes, chilling on this walkway, bikeway, whatever. And on the river walk near the beach, et cetera, people are convening in droves because the sun was out.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw photos of that.
Right. And Mayor Lori Lightfoot had to officially like close everything because people were not considered enough to do it of their own volition. And now they're issuing a thing of saying it's possibly going to be like $500 fines if it's evident that you're not adhering to the social distancing of whatever's. And so why is that necessary? Why do people need consequences to not be a dumb? Is the thing.
Yeah, man. I would say my experience would be the same here in Atlanta. I live by a really big park across the street. And it was pretty much that same situation where like people are playing intramural sports where they're like, where you have to touch another individual to win the game. You have to touch somebody else and you're sweating and shit. And you're like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I saw a picture of some, or they were talking about catch in the park playing basketball. And I'm like,
to the point where like the city had to bring, like had to hover helicopters, several helicopters over the park to encourage people to fucking disperse. Yo, now's not the time to work on that jump shot. So if you ain't had it, you ain't have it a couple weeks ago, man. You can wait.
Now.
It's just wild, man. It was very like I said, Coachella-esque.
Mm.
Also, you know what? Just a quick side note. something else, like, I mean, to add to the fuckery that I just found out today, I knew or I had heard rumblings about this whole virus crisis bringing in, like, bringing discrimination out of people and all that shit. I mean, you know, it's been happening all the time. It's just more publicized now, but I'm not naive to shit. I know shit is going on, but I'm hearing more cases where this could be right or wrong. I don't know, but I've heard cases of people be like going up to Asian folks of Asian descent and like pulling their masks off and like spitting on their face or blaming them for this whole thing. And that's the shit I want to bring to light and just say how fucking sad it is, yo. In a moment of crisis, this is the last thing we need. Are people doing shit like that, letting your fucking anger out in that way, man? You know,
especially
what I'm saying?
When it's a lot of motherfuckers that, well, beyond that, not that it should be down to anybody, but the stupidest part is they're going to people who are U.S. citizens, who have only been here, who have nothing to do with Hunan or whatever, and they're just using this as another excuse to be racist and whatnot. There's any excuse to ever be racist, but it's
just adding to the stupidity. If we're talking about stupidity, it's right. Not just going to the park with a million other people. It's like, yo, I wish we could turn a camera around on somebody like that so they could literally hear themselves and see themselves when they're doing some shit like that, yo.
Right.
Now is not the time. Now ain't the time, man. That's for all our 2 million subscribers and followers. Now is not the time.
There you go. Speaking of racism. And not that you know, people don't know that, but let's put it like this. No one, I doubt anybody listening to this podcast, unless you're like Twitter trolls or whatever, don't know that it's stupid to be racist. So this is a preaching to the choir thing, but I can't even say how fast I'll punch somebody in the throat if I saw that shit. I would risk getting coronavirus to whoop the ass.
And you're right. And I'm gonna let Adam speak, but I just want to say that I was just bringing. You hear about these things, you know they're happening, but it's just fucking disheartening. So I had to mention.
Yeah,
it's like. I had to mention it on this podcast because it's fucking disheartening, yo, that shit is still going on, specifically in a time where motherfuckers gotta be wiser than that, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
AJ, what you seen? What you heard?
I mean, for me, I'm really just gonna say, like, kind of piggyback off of something I said the last episode, and it's like the conspiracies. Like, I saw a guy today say something about, like, he thinks that they're trying to use this. He was saying, like, while we're scared about the virus stuff, they're going to use this as a time to roll out 5G and all of this. And
y'all, I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of this argument.
Now, for me, it's like, I've definitely heard the rumors about 5G, how it causes cancer, and I honestly don't know how true or false that is, but it's just people keep using the virus as a means to push other things. I'm like,
right.
Like, I don't know. And then I read the comments of that post, and it's all these people agreeing with the person. I didn't say anything this time. I just like, I'll let y'all have that one, but it's just like, again,
it's a thing of, one, everything causes cancer. We've already established this. Literally 90% of the things that people indulge in,
yeah,
they cause cancer or they're run by companies that are evil. But so it's all
true, man.
Impossible to avoid at this point.
Even those fucking Dr. Scholl's things you put in your shoes cause cancer. at this point.
But even 5G, wow, it's so many things. It just I don't even have a way to respond to that. But
yeah, some shit you just gotta laugh. Like, it's some things are, I guess, a little more difficult to talk about because we're still trying to process the ridiculousness of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard not to just laugh and be like, God damn, somebody turned the office back on or something.
Yeah. I mean,
in this age of fear, do you think that this is like the best time to really cash in on people's need to implement fear, play with fear, prey on people's prone to being fearful?
I think if that's your intention, then yeah, I think now would be a suitable time to do it, just because once, like, especially with social media, you wouldn't have to do as much of the work once it goes viral. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It just propels, and it's like the snowball effect, I kind of feel like. But it's not that, like, it's not like this shit hasn't been happening already in the news all the time, you know, and on social media. So it would just be in the times of mass hysteria, maybe it would just be a little easier. You wouldn't have to do as much. Or things might spread a little quicker. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it's anything. I don't know that it's super different from what's been going on anyway, which is why we've responded the way we have in this mass hysteria, you know?
Yeah, I'm saying in all of these times, fear has always been a catalyst to kind of shift people's perspective, who, especially those who rarely really think for themselves. And I don't mean that as a slight to anybody specifically, but whether it be people being like, you know, boo Mexico because they're coming to take our jobs and yada, 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 when that's never been. Adam, I don't know. You're ex-military, so I feel like you probably have a really distinct perspective on this.
Yeah. You mean like on fear and how it...
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this. As far as the fear thing goes... I think because this thing happened so quick, I don't even think anyone was able to really take advantage of people's fear. I mean, the people that profited from this the most are like bullet tissue companies. Like, they weren't expecting it. They're like, you know, they were probably just chilling, and then one day, you know, their account was just like skyrocketed. But
Charmin and Purell, look.
They like I said, they probably profited the most. I mean, those people like Walmart, Meijer, you know, those type of people. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at this point, with everybody getting laid off and stuff, I don't really think you can profit that much. I mean, everybody's about to be broke in a minute. But
man.
But do you think that this could lend itself to being like creating a new savior complex? If someone comes along to bail out, significantly bail out this situation, you know, let's say, you know, the top four, if Jeff Bezos and whoever, like the four people just directly under him, donate some odd trillion dollars, yeah, to alleviate this outside of the U.S. government. Right, the U.S. government puts in its plan, which just went through of the $2 trillion bailout, mm-hmm, and, you know, give individuals something, give corporations something, et cetera. And then let's say the top five richest people in the world or people adjacent to them do this whole thing, or just one person. Really, Jeff Bezos could bail out the world. Let's just be clear about that.
Yeah.
Do people start looking to them as, oh my goodness, this was a savior, let's all suck his dick simultaneously. And like, do you think people are looking for a savior, or just looking for solutions, or just trying to live in the fear?
I think it's a little bit of all of those. And this is why I think people, for me, I'm going to say what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the government to give taxpayers essentially what they're owed, because all of us, you know, pay taxes and all that, and, you know, et cetera. There's that. I do understand the government doesn't have an unlimited amount of resources. I do get that. But apparently they got about $2 trillion to hand out.
Right.
It's interesting. Every time someone mentions, hey, how about we do this free healthcare thing? Or how about we do this, you know, college or reparations? Like, they all, how are we going to pay for that? But they sure figured out a way to try to save the economy, because it affects affects them.
You know, and I'm put a pin in that, because you just brought us something that'll be interesting to unpack.
Yeah, go ahead.
With this kind of thing going on, when we recover, is it even less likely than it already was that Black folk ever get reparations?
Honestly, I honestly don't think it'll be less likely. I think it will be. I still don't think it'll happen, but I still think it'll be to happening, just because we can be like, wait a minute, y'all said y'all didn't have this money, but you clearly do. So, you know, we're not expecting it all at once. We can set up a payment plan, but y'all still owe us that money. So,
right. We
will allow you to set up a payment plan. We'll work with you, but.
That's true.
I think this thing is going to change the world. I mean, it's already changing the world, but I think it's going to have long lasting effects, because I posted something about this, like, I don't know if it was last week, but I was just along the lines of saying, like, I think this virus is really exposing a lot about this country, because, like I said, like, I'm not even going to say free healthcare or I'm gonna just bring up a point that would bring up an issue that would be far cheaper to solve. Like, the homeless vets on the street, there's 40,000 approximately. It wouldn't I don't even think it would take a quarter of $2 trillion to set them up for the rest of their lives. And it's like, everyone knows they exist. You know, the government officials, they know there's homeless vets. But,
right,
you know, and it's weird to me that for a country that is supposedly so grateful for it, and I'm not saying everybody, but just as a whole, we don't necessarily do that much for them. Like,
oh, absolutely. And especially in rural parts of America, they are everything about the troops.
Yeah.
But homeless vets are a highly, 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 highly underserved community in the States, which makes no sense, because these people either gave their lives or gave the best parts of their life for them to be able to function, or the best parts of their psyche in order for them to function. And y'all don't do the due diligence to take care of them. Veteran Affairs is a shit show and has been for decades.
Yeah, and for me, like, 40,000, that, I mean, in retrospect, 40,000 isn't a lot of people when you're considering, like, the resources America has. Mm-hmm. I can understand if it was 4 million homeless veterans, like, yeah, we can't afford that. But 40,000 ain't that much. That's a university. That's IU, essentially.
Literally.
I really do. Y'all could handle that. And I'm not even saying I'm an advocate, even though I am a veteran. I'm not even saying I'm out here advocating for anything. I'm just saying, for a country that's, like, all about the troops, you know, just really all about the troops, it's weird that there's so many ones in very unfortunate living situations.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot the point. The actual point I was making was was how, like, I think this is going to affect the world long term. I think that hopefully a lot of people, like, wake up, like, look, y'all been saying y'all ain't got this money, but y'all, and we're going to have to figure out, you know, how our taxes are, how they're used, because I feel like we should have a say so in how our taxes are used. Like, we elect senators and congressmen to represent us, but they don't. I mean, a few of them do, sure, but I mean, a lot of
the majority of Congress are making decisions, and I it honestly makes me cringe when I hear the statement, the American people do not, and I'm like, eh. your constituents may be a portion of that, but you rarely, and I granted, I'm not just, you know, sitting up on and was it CNBC?
Yeah.
Or any of those literally watching meetings. I'm not.
Yeah.
But I know there's no way that Mitch McConnell is still in office.
Yeah, that
if people actually paid attention.
Yeah, that dude, man, he's like, I'm not gonna call him evil, but I mean he's like
right, I will.
He's like right under that.
He's just a dick. Just a high level dick. High level dick executive.
I mean, I don't know. I think this is going to change. And like for me, this is kind of on like a smaller level. It's on a personal level. Like for me, after this is all said and done, I'm going to start building like a emergency, like every
bunker.
I mean, I'm not saying like a physical emergency thing, but like just have stuff like toilet paper for starters. Water and just those type of essentials just stored away.
Yeah,
because I know it sounds extreme, but I mean there are people that have been doing that. They're like the doomsday.
Oh yeah, definitely. Doomsday.
But yeah, they're chilling right now.
Yeah. Let me ask this to y'all: have y'all considered in this age of lack of toilet paper? Have y'all considered switching over to bidets?
My man,
I've
had a bidet for like 2 years now. Your boy is chilling. I'm chilling too. I'm chilling, yo. I'm chilling. Yo, and I used to have a squatty potty, man.
Yo, nah, can't do that shit. But
I can advocate for a few things as much as I can for these two. I'm telling you. That shit. I mean, but at the same time, something that's really funny is like, I understand that bidets are supposed to like keep it clean better and like use less toilet paper and all that. But like when you can't just, you still have to wipe your ass after you use the bidet. I want everybody out there to know that you walk around with a soggy ass. you don't just get up and let your shit air dry. You don't have an hour to walk around with your dick out to just let your shit air dry before you put your drawers back on.
I mean, everybody should hardly have an hour to let their dick air dry.
Yes, that's true. In these quite peculiar circumstances, yes.
Now,
don't just go buying bidets because they can be expensive and then just expect them to never use toilet paper after that.
Right.
Now, for me, I'm going to say this. I'm like, ever since I spent some time in Asia, because they're like, I guess, super common over there. Well, in Korea, I can't speak for the whole continent. But in Korea, they're really common. And after I used one, I was like, yeah, I need to get one of these. Also, about as far as the air dry thing, if you get one that's high end enough, they actually have dryers too.
Nice.
So I mean, that might be worth the investment. I don't know, but like I've wanted one. If I've been in Asia, I want one. But I mean, they can be expensive.
Yeah. Yo, you're right.
I just saw Charlemagne advocate for I think it's one called Tushy or something like that. It's like $75 for one.
Yeah.
Wait, Josh. You don't fuck with the squatty pie, but you fuck with something called Tushy.
Look here.
Come on. Give me a damn break.
It's not that I fuck with it. It's that I heard it on Brilliant Idiot. I personally have actually never. When in my times in Asia, be it China or Thailand, I didn't use a squatty potty. I think I used a squatty potty like once, actually. When I was in Thailand, it was because I was at like the touristy thing for the four wheelers and all zip lining and whatnot. And so they were like, "Yeah, you definitely got squat like that." and that was the only time. As far as bidets go, I've actually never tried it for whatever reason. Maybe someday, but every time it was an opportunity, there was that thing where, you know, like when a shower head gets that like crust around it because it ain't been like clean. And I was like, I don't trust it now. because y'all didn't like y'all didn't get that little bit of rust crust off of it. So I don't trust this water fountain for your asshole. And so, yeah.
But that's a little point. That's a hell of a point. That shit would turn me away too. It would turn me away like a fucking handshake right now. That would turn me away. I will say that I love that they have like the one that I have is essentially you just screw it in under your toilet seat. So I don't want anybody to think that I got some like bathroom the size of a fucking kitchen or something. You know what I'm saying? With like with the actual like bidet separate from the toilet. Mm-hmm. These are very easily accessible and very easy to set up and very much worth the purchase. Holler at Amazon. I'm sure they haven't been in these last 3 weeks. I'm sure they've been making zero business. But they probably are.
Amazon making plenty of business.
They probably are, actually. Yeah, they probably are. But the thing I would just urge people to do, which I haven't done just because the way our setup is just like gaudy. I just don't like the way it looks, is hook up the warm, like there should be, don't just feel like you have to settle for cold water splashing in your asshole every morning or whenever you like to handle your business. You know, it's important to get the option for the warm and cold.
Yeah, I personally prefer warm.
Yeah.
Cold seems to brace.
Yes. Yeah. My it is. It's a reality. But I just want, yeah, because we're on the topic, it's very important that folks know that you do have an option out here. You don't have to settle for less.
Oh, that's funny.
Yo, so, but I do have a question for both of y'all.
What's up?
Really quick is, what have you guys been eating? Like, what's your what have you guys been eating during these few weeks of quarantine and whatnot? Now that things have changed for us a bit.
I'm not eating any differently than I was before. I stocked up pretty well, maybe like a week and a half ago. And so, I can run down some of these menu items to you. made some tacos, ground turkey, spinach with corn tortillas and whatnot. Got that pineapple salsa, made some chicken thighs with either rice and peppers and kale or Brussels sprouts. Other day I made swordfish steak with corn chowder. I'm chilling because I cook. Yo, so
for real. Yeah, that shit sound like a menu. Yo, that last one sound like a fucking menu for real.
I did the fancy shit where you put the fish in the middle and pour the soup around it. Woo! So it looked like it was taking a bath.
Damn, Josh, you need to invite some hoes over now. You better be good.
Nah, man. Hoes bring corona.
I mean, shit. You might get a couple actual rolls of toilet paper out of some shit like that. You offer somebody a meal like that, dog.
Yo, funny enough, bless her, an ex of mine who was still very cool, still got mad love for her. She wrote a poetry book, and there was one that I came up in. And then there was a line in there like, ooh, this nigga can cook. And so shout out to her. I've been published. And but yeah, I appreciate people that enjoy my cooking. It's not like I'm fantastic at it. And I tell people like, you know, if you don't like spicy, then I can't like cook for you because I can't do puns.
Now I do have a question on that topic. Let's get into it.
Adam didn't get the answer. So
hey, go ahead. My bad.
I mean, for me, it's the same old stuff. I cook spaghetti, probably more than I should, but it's really good. Chili, tacos, yeah, kind of like that type of stuff, like hearty stuff that can last.
Party, yeah. That's real. That is the issue. Yeah. Mine don't last more than maybe two.
Yeah. For me, I'll probably get three at the most, but I'm good with that.
Yeah, like a lot of like rice or quinoa or some shit like base that'll last for a while.
That'll last for a while, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Rice is gone at every store I went to. So luckily I had one bag of rice left, but yeah, it's gone right now. So,
yo, I respect y'all, and we have been doing a little bit of cooking as well, and I'm trying to get through these motherfucking Five Guys gift cards, bro.
What are you eating at Five Guys besides fries?
Fries and grilled cheese every time, dog. Fries and grilled cheese.
I forgot about the grilled cheese thing.
And by the way, are those fries not the saltiest fries you have ever had in your life?
Oh my goodness. It's a double-edged sword because you're grateful that they gave you so many. And then you're like, I literally can feel my blood pressure going up.
I feel like after you eat the fries, you're inevitably more susceptible to the coronavirus just floating around. they're the craziest thing. But yeah, I've been trying to, and we've been also ordering out to certain like Asian restaurants, which just may sound crazy to some, but just trying to support certain Asian restaurants around here that like small businesses that are probably going out of business.
Yeah. That'll have a hard time. Yeah.
So we've been trying to do that, but
that's good because I have seen that a lot of Chinese food places have been suffering. And I'm like, yo, Chinese food been serving communities for how long?
I know.
Yeah, I hear.
Now, granted, that's...
I'm just saying, like, I haven't been to Chinatown in a minute, but I've heard, like, that, like, Chinatown is pretty much just vacant. Because, you know, like, a lot of outsiders go to Chinatown to eat and walk around. And, but I guess now it's, like, pretty much... Well, I mean, it should be empty because of the
quarantine.
But even before that, though, they were still like dead, from my understanding, from like people I know that had said that have been there, or whatever. But it's crazy.
Yeah, because it's that double-edged sort of thing. Like, you know, you want to support them because you know they're going through a hard thing, and I also know there's that shit that. Black business owners have kind of gone through, or potential business owners have gone through, where banks would give business loans to Asians, Middle Easterns, et cetera, to move into Black communities, but wouldn't give Black folk those same loans in order to start businesses in their own communities. So I get that there's that thing too. At the same time, the reality is that Chinese food has always been delicious, and they, with the exception of the LA riots, ain't been no beef. So go support your local Chinese business or Chinese food and whatnot because they need it.
Exactly, yo. Those drunken noodles are the shit. I can't get enough of them. I can't get enough of them, man. Cannot get enough.
So what were you about to ask, though? Aaron?
I think you got so caught up in that damn thing, and I thought about these drunken noodles, and I can't remember, dog.
Yeah. You trying to say you was trying to calm down on drinking, and it's still taking me a toll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of drinking, though, I'm so glad before all of this shit happened, I got a couple of those ciders that I really enjoy that y'all had when y'all were over here.
Oh, nice.
Uh-oh.
The pear cider, I feel, was that one apple or peach?
Nah, it was that mango habanero.
Yeah, that was an interesting one, yeah.
Yo, I love that shit. And by all means, if we can get them to sponsor us, we will gladly mention your name. And what was it? I can't avoid it because it's the only one, but there's this peanut butter whiskey that is so damn good that I'm so glad I got a fresh fifth before all of this shit went down.
Wait, is it peanut butter whiskey?
Yes.
Oh man, I was with you up until that point, man. That's good.
Are you serious?
I clearly haven't tasted it, so I can't judge it too hard. I haven't tasted it.
Do you like peanut butter?
I'm in love with peanut butter.
There's no way you will not like this whiskey. I'm telling you, it is what I imagine if a woman was made out of peanut butter, this is what her cousin says. Like.
Well, in that case, I'm on board. You know what, man? I just want to, this would be a good topic, actually. I just want to, like, oftentimes, to me, people fuck up certain drinks by adding alcohol to it. They fuck up what it could have been by adding because of the taste of alcohol. And that's just what my mind immediately went to with the peanut butter whiskey thing. But
and it honestly, could just be being a little bit. It tastes more like peanut butter than it does whiskey.
Okay. That's helpful for me. Because even when I drink hard liquor, you know, I had to I had to hide the fucking taste that it was hard liquor.
Yeah, I do enjoy hard. I don't really drink beer or wine. And so with hard liquor, I'm a real big advocate of the liquor has to taste good.
Agreed.
Because one, if I'm gonna kill my liver, I'm gonna do it with shit that I enjoy. And two, I don't these days I don't even like mixed drinks like that. If I want juice, I'm gonna just go drink juice. I don't want you to have to mask the taste of liquor so that I can enjoy it. Why don't we just get good liquor?
I agree. Don't fuck up something like pomegranate juice by adding gin or something to it. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I like gin and I like pomegranate, so. if the gin isn't good, then yes, I got to cut it with pomegranate. That's the thing about it. A lot of people don't like gin because they ain't never had good gin. And by all means, I have no issues with discrediting any of these companies. So if you like Bombay, if you like Hangaray, if you like Beefeater, all of those are trash ass. And so yes, I get people trying to cut that with juice. But I do also support you that I can just go get good juice. I don't need liquor for this.
Yeah, man. Adam, what's your take?
What, on liquor?
Yeah.
So for me, like, all right, so if I'm just drinking something straight, I'm probably going to go with whiskey or tequila.
Okay.
What's the second one? I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Tequila.
Oh, gotcha.
However, recently I've been drinking Crown Royal Apple, and it's knockoff brother Jim Beam apple.
What's funny is Crown Apple came out first, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Crown Apple was the first one, and now there's Jim Beam, there's another cheap brand, what's it called, E&J.
E&J, so
and that's kind of like the order of it. It's like the top tier, and there's the middle, and there's like the, you know, the homeless
bottom shelf. that one that doesn't leave the paper bag because you feel like somebody will shame you for drinking.
I probably drink that probably the most, because that really is something that you can drink straight because it's so sweet. So I mean,
yeah, I used to fuck with Crown Apple real hard, and then eventually it just started tasting too much.
Yeah, I can see that, but. Also, though, Crown Apple, I can drink it straight, but also if you mix it with Crayon Apple is good. If you mix it with Crayon Pineapple is even better. So, I mean,
I got one for you. Next time you're near a Trader Joe's and it's that time of year when it's in season, mix it with their Honeycrisp Apple Cider. Mm-hmm. Yo.
That sounds good.
That's the mix right there.
Yo, that sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
And you can heat up the cider, then put that in there. Do like a little dab of cinnamon on top. Ooh, baby, that's a holiday. That's a holiday.
That sounds like this one drink I had before when I was in Korea. Like apparently Apparently, they serve hot wine. I mean,
yeah, sake
is wine. I think sake is beer, right?
No, sake. Sake is rice wine.
No. Hey, sake. I think yeah. Soju. I think soju is rice wine. Yeah. I thought sake was like vodka or something.
Soju.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm sure.
Is Korean rice wine, but I'm talking about just red wine.
Okay.
Just red wine. So I
got you.
They had, and I don't even know why I got it because I don't even drink wine, but it was really good. That's probably why I got it because it just seemed interesting. But anyway, it was like some type of red wine. I forgot what type it was. It was red wine. Cinnamon, and I want to say tangerine was in it as well. And it was good. And it was like, it was cold outside that day too. So it was like, or like a hot drink. And I wish I knew where I got it from, but I never knew it, never found it again. But it was so good.
Damn.
Here's a question. What would you guys, or would you guys say that as you've gotten older, that you've been more willing to try new things as far as food, or you kind of also found yourself stuck in your ways of, okay, I'm going to order the same thing because I know I like it. How has that changed as you've traveled and experienced new places and just from getting older as well?
For me anyway, it's been both. It depends on where I'm going and what the circumstances are. If I've never been to that place, I'm much more open to trying a lot of stuff. If I have been to that place and I really enjoyed what I got, then I'm probably going to get that.
And so you feel like you, and I feel that for sure, but do you feel like you're less likely to try something else on the menu that you might also like because you know they do this particular thing so well?
Not every time. It depends on the mood I'm in. If I feel like trying, then I will. If I don't, then I'm like, well, at least I know this is going to be good.
Yeah.
But I'm more prone, if I go to a place, it's because I wanted this thing.
Got you.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah, for me, I would probably say I'm probably the same exact way. Although, as open as I would like to say I am, I think I'm a lot less open than I realize as far as trying stuff. Because for me, like if I go to like an American, like say I go to like an American restaurant, I mean, obviously we know the type of stuff they serve, but like I'm probably almost always going to get a burger that has like a barbecue sauce on it, bacon. Like it's always something like around that, something like that. It's never too far off from that. So, but like, if I'm like in Asia or something, like I do realize, their meals can be a bit exotic, to put it lightly. So I'm a lot more strict, you know. There, especially if you're getting like something off the street, like street food, it's just usually gotta be careful. But
you gotta be careful because your body may not agree with it, or you gotta be careful because
your body might not agree with it, or you might, you know, start a global pandemic, or you know,
it's little things.
Because thing is, I get overwhelmed when I'm in those places. When we were in Thailand last year, I get to a street market because I want to try everything. I get overwhelmed by the street market because so many people are serving the same thing. And I don't know who's doing it well.
That's a good point.
That's the thing that bothers me in those environments, because I'm like, no, I would have never eaten this anteater tail before. But I'm here, so if you really out here seasoning and shit, let's go for it. But then I see like six more carts that are serving it, and I'm like, well, who does it well? And I don't speak the language, so I can't be like, yo, who got the best, you know, lizard foot
Beth.
Yo, how long were you in Thailand?
We were only there for like maybe 4 days or something like that.
Okay.
A homie of my partner's was throwing this event called Woke Folks Festival. And I think Aaron, especially you, I think you'd really enjoy. It's like a mix of a social festival and yoga.
Oh, nice.
So I say that I think you would certainly enjoy because a lot of it is very nature-based.
Yeah, nice, nice.
And they will have these conversations about the thing I think you would enjoy, Adam, is they will have a lot of panels and conversations about social issues or things of that nature. And they'd have like yoga in the morning, and then they'd have like stuff at night between parties or improv shows or music shows and stuff like that. So it was a nice setup. And the cat, my friend's home, my partner's homie, he's this really charismatic dude. He's from Chicago, but he moved out there. He was living there for like maybe 2-3 years, and he's probably the most charismatic dude I think I've ever met. To the point where I'm like, he's only been here for like 2.5 years, and one of the restaurants had a sandwich named after him, and I was like, this is a little ridiculous. Crazy.
Man, I love Thailand. Like I want to go back to. It's not my favorite country, but it's definitely my second favorite country, because like it's so. I can't even explain it. It's so like everyone seems to like just not care, but that's in a good way. Like nobody like bothers you. Like you can just do what you want, and it's like no judgment.
Yeah, I wish I wasn't in the best headspace when I was there, even though it was a vacation and all of that. And so I don't know if I could have enjoyed it more. I think the other side of it was that whenever I do foreign travel, a big thing for me is being able to socialize. That's the one time I try to be more extroverted. And, you know, I barely like clubbing here, but I would want to go to clubs in foreign places because I want to see what your socializing is. I really want to know what hip hop is here. I really want to know what like social dance is here. Like I get in what your traditional dance may be and whatnot. I want to see what your social dance is like. What is your underground scene and what is that doing? But we ended up just spending a whole lot of time around expats, and the most which I get it, that's fine too. And really the most exciting thing I did while I was there was relearn how to drive a moped.
Man, I wish I would have done that in Bali, dog. I really wish I would have done that.
Yo, in real life, terrifying.
because you're driving on the left side of the road, right?
That too.
Yeah.
But I haven't. I think the last time I actually drove a moped was yours, Aaron. So it's been well over a decade. And so to go from well over a decade to really not remembering how to drive with your weight.
Yeah.
And getting into full on traffic.
Yes.
And not even like American traffic where it is completely normal to bob and weave between cars.
Yes. There's like a controlled chaos over there.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Before I went to Thailand, I was like, I'm a rent a moped, I'm gonna drive around, and had all these high hopes. Then I got there and saw the traffic, and like, I'm good. I'm just take the train or walk because I'm not. But what we did do, I did rent a car, so because we went up north to Chiang Mai, in Chiang Rai.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
That's what
we went up like the mountains and stuff, and actually, we were in Chiang Mai, and then we drove further up north to like the mountain stuff. And it was scary at first because I never drove a car that side of the road, and then the steering wheel. I was like hugging like the right side of the. I'm just, I don't know. It was weird, but once I got used to it, it was. But One thing I remember about that drive, this really doesn't have anything to do about the car necessarily or the driving, but it's just a memory. Well, like I said, we went up into these mountains and we drove. I don't know how high it was, but it was high enough for my ears to hurt. We drove up.
Was that your first time like getting something near like altitude?
I mean, I don't know how, like, I don't know how high we were. I would have to like look it up, but we got high enough for my ears to hurt. And then they were hurting for like two or three days after the fact. It's not like it stopped. After we came down. It was like, and plus we know how hot Thailand is. And you know, it was like 90 degrees every day I was there. But when we got up into the mountains, it was like in the 60s, just to give you an
That cooling off, man.
Nah, that shit is.
Yeah, but
that was it. Because what happened for us was it's always hot during the day, but you don't realize what cold is until you're on a moped and shorts and the temperature has dropped 30 degrees. Oh, so we had to like, we had to pack pants and jackets in the seat of the moped, because once you're at a place, you're like, okay, it's warm. But once you're driving, it's fucking freezing. You just learn a lot in that regard, but it was an experience to say the least. I'd do it again. I would, but I really need to have a native friend.
Yeah,
I can see that be like integral for my overseas stuff going forward. Is I really need to have somebody with me who knows the lay of the land, who can take me to them underground spots, because sometimes you get lucky, you know. What was it when we were in Bulgaria? When I was dancing in Bulgaria, the ladies found a hookah bar, but it was because they had befriended a waitress we had, or one of the tour guys we had, and so she took them there. Or in China, I found the black market, but it was because I was asking the right questions and because I was black. So they were like, he looks trustworthy. So, story for another. I really need a native. I really need somebody who knows the area.
Like, I guess I can sort of agree with that. But to me, sometimes I like just stumbling into places. Like, for me, like one of my best experiences in Korea. Like, I keep bringing up Korea because it's probably my favorite country. And this is actually back when I was there in like 2014, that time frame. So I've been there three times, but that was that trip, whatever. Or not trip, but assignment, I guess you could say. But we were in this city called Busan, was actually they filmed some of the Black Panther there, actually. But you know that scene when they're like that traffic chase? Yeah, that's in
Busan. Okay. I only know Busan from the zombie movie, Train to Busan.
So we went there for like, I want to say it was 4th of July weekend. Yeah, it was actually. That was the only time I've been there. But anyway, so we tried to get away from like the main part, you know, it's kind of the main late night area, because first of all, like, because I was in the military at the time, we actually had a curfew of 1 a.m. And we were like, we're not trying to be caught out here, you know, with all these people, because a lot of people from the base goes to Busan that, you know, for that weekend. It's a long weekend, you know, et cetera. So, like, let's not be around these people. So we went to, like, the college area, you know, and so there's a lot. It's just pretty much you're not going to see any, like, really Americans or foreigners there. So it's just, anyway, we stumbled into this club, which was kind of like underground essentially, and it was small, but they like the music they were playing, it was American hip-hop, but it was like American hip-hop. It wasn't like, I mean, at the time it was 2015, I don't even know if trap was really like, you know what it is now, but they weren't playing stuff. They were playing like 90s legitimate hip-hop, and it was like, it was the best experience, because we got these you have us, which like this group of four black men in this club of Asian people, but they're like dancing. They know the lyrics of half the songs. It was just like unbelievable. But that was probably my favorite experience in Korea. Because like it was
unexpected. Yo, South Koreans hold on to more hip hop than we do at this point.
Yeah, it was just so unexpected because I know there's a hip hop culture in Korea. I knew that, but to just stumble into like a club that was like legitimately like really into it, like that was amazing. Because I can't even find a place like that in America. So, I mean, I'm sure they exist, right. But I haven't seen one yet. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. My man. Because it's so much conflation and stuff. I do think trap was a thing in 2015 and whatnot, but it's still different when, you know, I'm trying to refrain from saying golden era hip hop and whatnot, because you know I think every generation has its has its heavy hitters, but you know, you hear those stories about how much South Korea values historical hip hop. And so, yeah, to stumble into that kind of scene, I'm sure I'd have lost my fucking mind being in there. So, yeah. And so with that, why don't we can go ahead and wrap this up. Does anybody want to have any final thoughts?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Stay your ass at home, people. Yeah. Stay at home. Be productive. Talk to communicate better with the people you're living with. Take this time to be productive. Do something useful, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
AJ? I'm gonna pretty much agree with all of that. And for the people that say that they're bored, that it's not an excuse. In 2020, there's too much stuff to do. That's all I got.
Facts.
That's real.
Yo,
learn a new craft. Watch a new show. Video call some people. There's plenty of shit. I concur and ditto all of that. And one, thank you all for listening to us. By all means, like I said, it's just a conversation. I don't know if you came here looking for like a outline format or anything like that. You know, we call it informal for a reason. We are at this current time, three brothers from different mothers and obviously different fathers, who just conversed from little town to Gary, but moved around the world. Living around the world. and just keeping the connection that's
I said I was hoping you were gonna do that.
And keeping the connection spanning over 20 years. Above all else, we pride ourselves on being forthright, vulnerable, and honest. You're listening to the Informally Honest Podcast. If you want to write us anything, if you want to bring up anything for us to converse about, to unpack, or if you're like, yo, this was cool, but I feel like y'all weren't deep enough, then, you know, by all means, let us know your thoughts. Let us know your feelings, good, bad, indifferent. We could bring it up on the podcast. We could ignore you. Who knows? Regardless, write us at informallyhonestpodcast@gmail.com. That's INFORMILLY honestpodcast.com. Much love to you all.
See ya.
Peace.
Trust, coexist. We can live in harmony. Yeah.
See, if he can't get love, he'll find a supplement. Express hurt outwardly or self-inflict cowardly. Everyone wants to belong. Everybody deserves another.